We're good. We're recording. We've had multiple technical difficulties. I am joined by Megan Fox joining me to talk about Debate Night 2 and what a debate night it was.
Well, if you can call it that, I don't know. I think everybody wants to know who won the debate. And in my opinion, everyone who didn't watch it is the winner.
Yeah. I mean, everything that pretty much went on with this debate. First, let's talk about, you know, last night's debate was just the most boring debate I think I've ever seen. So out of the whole night last night, I took notes the whole night, both nights. And I will say out of everybody that was there, John Delaney was the only one that I gave any credit to because he's a business guy. He understands the market a little bit. And he wasn't looking for the universal health care because he said it'd be political suicide. And he kind of got a little bit. But that was everybody else, all other nine of them could go home.
I agree with you. I think Delaney did the best yesterday, but I don't think that anyone on his side will give him that credit. I don't think any of them want him. He's far too moderate. He's far too rational. He doesn't want open borders, and that disqualifies him right off the top.
And you know what the trending tweet was last night? For Delaney to quit.
Surprise me. That doesn't surprise me at all because he could actually be a serious contender. And the Democrats, as we know, are not serious. They're radicals. They're totally far to the left, and they're not serious about anything really. I mean, all they want to do is turn this country into a third world country and put us into a socialist hellhole. And if their candidates are not all gung ho for that, they're out.
Yeah. Any candidate that would seem to make sense or be anywhere. Like, right. Honestly, I honestly believe Delaney would actually probably give the best chance for them for a win against Trump. But that's not what they want. But let's talk about tonight. First off, I got to have this. I'm going to come out and say this. Bill de Blasio. Okay. I don't know if he was given a job by the Kamala Harris campaign to just attack Biden and spew his nonsense about the Labor Party, which really means the Communist Working Party. But what is he doing? I mean, he can't manage New York City, and he plans on managing the country. I think he's in it to get a job.
I think he's in it for the name recognition and for the attention. His slogan, he's come out with a slogan now, and I don't know if you noticed, but he said it two times, and that is that I'm going to tax the hell out of the wealthy. I'm going to tax the hell out of the rich. He said it twice. I have two things to say about this. One is I thought it was unpresidential to swear. You know, everybody's always going after Donald Trump because of the way he speaks, but it's okay if Bill de Blasio does it. And secondly, I live in Bill de Blasio's state. No one can tell me that he's for taxing the wealthy because everybody here in New York, they tax the hell out of all of us. Right. I mean, property taxes are so high that people who have been living in their homes, you know, for generations are having to move out because they can't afford the property taxes in New York. It is so bad. And we're talking about little tiny homes that are now at $12,000 a year taxes because they're on waterfront. And the state of New York doesn't give a crap if they're throwing grandma out on the street. So please, please spare me, Bill de Blasio, your nonsense about taxing the hell out of the rich. You plan to tax the hell out of everyone, and all anybody needs to do to prove that is talk to New Yorkers.
Yep, and I am a fellow New Yorker. I live in New York. I live in one of the highest tax counties in the state, Nassau County, where we get bombarded. I mean, it's absolutely insane. The median tax on a property here is like $12,000, like you said. And for him to think that the people who get affected are the middle class. He says he taxed the rich. The rich people create companies. Not to mention most of New York State and New York City pensions that go through the pension system that pay people's retirements all invest in private companies. These private rich people that invest in companies. That's where your money goes with the pensions. So you want to attack those people and tax them, you're going to see a change in the pensions of your city and state workers as well. doesn't help.
Yeah, the other thing that it's going to do is rich people will just pay the tax. I mean, they don't care. They'll pay the tax.
Right, they can.
We've got wealthy people here near me who build these gigantic mansions on the waterfront, which also doesn't help, you know, grandma's house, because the property values go way up, and so the taxes go way up. And, you know, they're paying taxes. The wealthy people with these huge mansions are probably paying $50,000, $60,000 a year in property tax. Well, they don't care. They'll pay it. But right. If the taxes ever get to a point where it gets, you know, punitive, what they will do and what they are doing, because that is happening, is they're moving to Florida. The people in New York are moving to Florida with primary residences there to avoid the tax in New York, and they only spend a certain number of days in New York. I mean, there's still, they're not going to pay the money to the state. They're not going to, at some point, the wealthy will just take off and live in one of their other big houses in a different state that doesn't tax the hell out of them. And that just leaves the rest of us to foot the bill. And we will have to foot it.
Yep.
It's not like they're going to lower the taxes because the millionaires moved out. You know, that isn't going to happen.
All. And speaking of other New Yorkers with terrible platforms, Kristen Gillibrand tonight.
Oh, God.
All right.
She was the worst. What a vicious bitch. Can I say that? Because she really is.
Ready. Medicare for all, one-payer system. We're going to fit the bill. All right. Then she talked about white privilege. Then she talked about...
That sounds like the worst mom's night out ever, by the way. She's going to explain to white suburbanites what white privilege is. No thanks.
And here's the other thing that she said. She said that people can't afford health care, all right? But what you forget is government is the reason why people can't afford health care, because of all the involvement that the government has, all the regulation, all the paperwork that government forces the healthcare industry to get, you know, to deal with. Listen, I'm no big fan of big pharma. That's what I agree with that. But with the healthcare industry, if you allow the free market to work itself and to compete against each other and even open up to the ideas of going across state lines. And if the government wants to have a public option and you want to have an option to buy into a government program, fine. But do not force you to have to be in a single-payer system. That's going to cripple the economy.
We've already seen what Obamacare did. Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, was not affordable for anyone. Listen, my own sister had to go on it because she didn't have employer insurance, and the bill made it illegal to not have insurance, and so she had to go through the exchange. She got the only one she could buy, had an $11,000 deductible, $800 a month she paid, and an $11,000 deductible. That means she never got to use the insurance. She was paying out of pocket every single time she went to the doctor. She's never going to hit $11,000 in a year.
Right.
That's crazy. Not unless something, you know, terrible happens. She was paying twice as much as what I was paying in private health care through an employer. The idea that people cannot afford insurance is nuts. If you can't afford insurance, then you probably qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, right? You qualify for something. I'm not saying it's perfect. But for God's sake.
No system is perfect.
I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody, though. I know no one, Kevin, who is saying, I really hate my private insurance. I've never met people who say this.
I like my private insurance.
I love my private insurance.
I don't want to be forced to pay $1,000 deductible. My deductible is less than that now. Like, you know, like I don't want to, you know. Biden's plan was the $1,000 deductible. You will never
Did you catch that he screwed up and he said $1,000 copay? I really laughed at that. He said
that's a big copay.
I'm like, that's a giant copay there. I knew what he meant, but still, it was funny. The other thing Gillibrand really bothers me about her is that, are we all just going to ignore that her parents were in a sex cult? Is everybody going to ignore that?
I didn't even know anything about this.
That her family was in NXIVM. Her stepfather and mother, who she started talking about in the beginning of the debate, are both members of the NXIVM sex cult, which is involved in child trafficking. And I can't believe...
Is that the same one that actress got in trouble with?
Yes.
Okay. That was upstate New York.
Gillibrand is up to her ears in this NXIVM scandal. And we're not... And you know what CNN was talking about, Gillibrand? They were saying that she was nervous, that she's feeling beat up on because the Democrats don't like her because she outed, she told them to make Franken step down, Al Franken step down. Well, you know, frankly, that's not why everyone should be going after her. They should be kicking her out of the race because she's up to her ears in NXIVM sex cult scandal. And nobody's writing about it. Nobody's talking about it, which I should make myself a note. Write an article
That needs to be one of your articles right
about
there.
Kristen Gillibrand and the NXIVM connection. Yeah. I think it goes way deeper than, and she had the nerve to talk about her mother and what a wonderful person she was. That woman, her mother, was in the NXIVM sex cult.
Well, I just learned something new. Once again, you always inform me of these things I haven't heard that I need to know. Like the vaccine thing we talked about last time.
Yeah. That's because the media has an agenda and they want you to know stuff.
Cory Booker, okay?
Spartacus.
All he did tonight, every time he was asked a question, he didn't answer any questions. This is his thing. He every time he said, we need to stop fighting with each other and attack Trump. That's all he did. He talked about demagoguery, racism, Trump's a racist. Instead of answering questions, he pivoted and just moved on to let's stop fighting and just blame Trump for whatever the question was. He didn't answer anything. He did nothing tonight.
I think one of his worst moments actually tonight was where he really went after Joe Biden, and it made him look – it really kind of gave me the feeling of, oh, don't beat up on Grandpa. Like, Joe's looking a little – he's looking a little weak around the – you know, a little weak around the gills, and he's like stuttering, and he wasn't putting his words together well. He sounded like he might be tripping over his dentures, and then Booker goes after him and says something really – weird. Dip it into the Kool-Aid without knowing the
flavor. Oh, the flavor. Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. No one knows what it means. Everyone was asking, what does that mean? But, I mean, he appeared to be going after Joe Biden in a really aggressive way, and I thought it was not a good look for him. I thought he that angry thing, it doesn't play well with men or women. I thought Gillibrand did it, and it made her look stupid. Kamala Harris was like, she played it angry all night long, and I don't know why she did that, because that is a very bad look, especially on a woman. Nobody wants an angry woman, and I think Booker suffered from the same thing. He appeared angry most of the time, and that just doesn't play well with people, I don't think. I could be wrong, but it doesn't play well with me.
I didn't like Cory Booker for – I feel like he's trying too hard. And he was just on the Tonight Show last week talking about all that testosterone, and he wants to punch Trump in the face. Like, he's trying too hard to be that tough guy to fight on the big Trump guy. And it's, I think it's completely destroying any chances that he has of winning the nomination. Andrew Yang,
$3,000. I love the Yang gang.
I gotta be honest.
I'm 100% Yang gang.
Listen, he's very articulate.
I like money in my hands. You want to put money in my hands? I'm all about money in my hands. You give me
$1,000 a month, right?
You know,
I feel like it's a purchase, though. Like, he's trying to buy your vote when he does.
I don't care. Buy my vote. If you're going to actually give me the money, I'm all in. I don't know. I feel like I posted it on Twitter while I was live tweeting this. There's a meme, you know, that says, you know, the meme with the guy with the buttons, which one to push. And the one says unlimited immigration and all these other problems that we're having right now. And the other button says, same, but $1,000 a month. Mm. You know, and that is how people feel. It's like, here we still have all these problems because, you know, Donald Trump, we knew he wouldn't be able to fix it himself. He needs Congress. He needs help to do the things that he wants to get done. Well, he hasn't been able to implement his wall. He hasn't been able to stop immigration. And so if we're just going to keep going down the same road, well, $1,000 a month sounds pretty good. I mean, it's not, unfortunately, Andrew Yang kind of screwed up for the support that he got initially from some disaffected Trump fans, because he then started on this crazy socialist path. You know, he's talking about abortion, and he talks about stuff people don't like, you know, like single payer health care. And again, it's like, Yang, shut up and just stick with the $1,000 a month. That's your thing. You know,
he is right about something with the industry and how the change with automation and jobs and Amazon's trying to figure out how to deliver product without even using truckers. because using truckers and that equipment's too expensive. So they're already cutting. So he has a lot of good points. And if he
does, I love his idea of giving us $1,000 a month and making Amazon pay for it. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain people, there are certain, like when de Blasio talks about, you know, taxing the hell out of the wealthy, he doesn't mean Amazon. Mm-mm. He's talking about people who make like $500,000 to $3 million a year or up. And that's not these billionaires. We're talking.
That's not even super wealthy in New York.
No, it's
that's
not.
Barely getting by still.
Barely getting by in New York. It's
San Francisco.
San Francisco, forget about it. Housing costs are through the roof. Same in New York City. You can't get a place for less than $10,000 a month. I mean, it's unless you're going to go live in Brooklyn or, you know, somewhere in New Jersey. It's crazy. So the idea, but that isn't who he's talking about when he says he's going to tax the hell out of the wealthy. Now, Andrew Yang, on the other hand, is talking about the real wealthy. Like he's talking about the billionaires. He's talking about the Amazons, the Facebooks, the Googles. He's talking about those guys. And you know what? Yeah, I think that they should be paying a whole lot more. I mean, maybe that makes me, but because they're
thinking about the platform we have right now. Me and you are having a discussion. We're going to post it on YouTube. The YouTube world, the Twitter world, the Facebook world, that is the new, they have a control of everything.
They have control over everything.
And they have every loophole that they want. So if they got to pay a little bit more in taxes because of all these great other, I mean, think of the whole issue with the First Amendment and free speech over the social media and how they're able to shut people down because, you know, another discussion we had before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they have to pay more money, I'm not going to cry about it.
Well, and also they need regulation. It's one of the reasons why I like Tulsi a little bit. I mean,
she's my favorite of
she's
all
so
the
She's so beautiful.
Democrats.
She's so beautiful. The camera should just stay on her all the time. And they would get their ratings up if they just did that. She looks like Wonder Woman. I mean, you can't beat that. She's got a camera-ready face. And whoever gets the nomination, if they don't pick her as VP, they're stupid. Because that face could launch ships. So she, one thing about her is she's suing Google. And
I saw something, but I didn't read the article. What was that about?
Yeah, she's suing Google for their bias and their, you know, for silencing people and censorship. I think I haven't read the actual lawsuit, but that's what it appears to be. I saw her on Tucker Carlson the other night talking about it, and I agree with her 100%. Google, Facebook, YouTube. They all must be held accountable because they are the new public square, and the censorship that they are engaging in violates our First Amendment rights. It violates the ability of people to pursue their own happiness. And you know, look, I actually can't talk about that because I was going to say something. I was going to say this. Okay, I'll put it this way in general terms. There are businesses out there right now that rely on Facebook and Google and, you know, YouTube to sell their product, and it's the new marketplace. Mm-hmm. But Facebook and these other places are taking it upon themselves to remove some of these people if they don't agree with their platform or they've said something that they claim is, you know, violating their terms of service when really it's very subjective. And Tulsi is saying this subjective stuff has got to stop. Yeah. You know, algorithms... You can't just blame the algorithm. We know that you're targeting some people. And so I agree with her 100%. They need, and I'm never for government regulation, but in this case, they are out of control. They need to be broken up like the phone companies, and they need to be shown, or they need to be, there needs to be a law that protects consumers, just like the phone company can't tell you can't make phone calls because they don't like what you talk about.
Right.
Facebook should not be allowed, and neither should YouTube, to shut you up if they don't like what you're talking about.
Right. Yeah.
Facebook literally is taking down posts that are negative about Facebook.
I had a tweet the other day that I tried to send out, and they blocked my account and had me check in. This has happened multiple times since I have started engaging a lot more on Twitter. And I was engaging a libertarian specifically, and we were going back and forth. And I posted the tweet, and my account got locked again. And it keeps on happening on Twitter because, you know, my ideas are different. And I'm tagging certain people, and they don't want me having that ability. So
yeah,
I'm
Twitter's
a little suspicious
the
on the algorithm that they say.
Yeah, Twitter's the same. I mean, it's all of these big tech companies have got a total chokehold on our public square right now, and it is affecting free speech. It's causing people to live in fear of speaking out, which is incredible to me. I would rather be banned from all platforms than be forced to lie and pretend that I think something that I don't. They're doing it to people on Twitter right now who are talking about the transing of American kids or of all kids. It's crazy. I'm not going to stop saying it, and I'm not going to call a he a she, and I'm not going to call a she a he, and they can't make me. They can ban me, but they're not going to force me to tell lies.
No, they have the ability to control the information, and this is another presidential race. They talk all the time about Russia and the influence and how they came up with now, besides Russia, you got our own companies that we got to worry about with the censorship of ideas. Because now we're trying to maybe bring out conservative or libertarian ideas, and it's not what the tech companies like. So then there's censorship. And it happens a lot more on the right side than the left. But before we can go off into a social media debate forever. But I want to stick to the last three people I want to talk about, because I'll say Bennett was the most boring person. I have nothing to say about him.
I don't even know who he is. I can't even tell you what he looks like.
He
so
was all
he's
the way on
for
the
sure
left.
Not going to lose.
He was
he's
the real.
I mean, he's for sure going to lose. Instantly. If I can't identify you by now, him too. Inslee. Well, he said something really vicious tonight, though.
He doesn't like Trump at all.
Which was so uncalled for. He called President Trump a white nationalist. I am sorry, but even by the Webster Dictionary definition, Trump does not fit that definition in any way. I am so sick of these people and their vicious lies. I'm so tired of it. And also, I caught CNN asking a question, actually giving their opinion in the form of a question, by asking the candidates to discuss the president's racist rhetoric. That is so much bullshit and fake news. How do they get away with doing this? I hate CNN so much. I mean, how can they? The premise is false.
Well, they're putting it out there that he's making racist remarks. The whole thing that happened with Cummings, okay, Baltimore is in complete poverty. That city has been run by Democrats since, I think they said 1914 or something was the last Republican.
And it is infested with rats. They literally
Cummings himself has said it.
I know, and they're literally doing a news report with the camera trained on some alleyway, and a rat runs into the picture as they're complaining about him saying that it's infested with rats.
He said nothing about race. He said nothing about Cummings specifically. He talked about his district and the disarray and rat-infested cockroach. That's the situation.
Yes.
Even Cummings himself has said it, but because it doesn't fit the narrative. They beat him up. They just paint them and then just throw it out there. Like in tonight's debate, they lead with the question. So his racist remarks, he didn't make racist. He made remarks about the
actually, frankly, I think the people who are racist are the ones who inferred that by saying rat infested, he was talking about black people.
Yeah.
That's racist.
He didn't say anything.
Who are the people who hear the words rat infested and the very first thing they think of is black people?
Yeah,
give me a break.
The media
is racist. And the idea that they would say that he was talking about black people and not actual rats, which is what he was talking about, is crazy.
There was a show on the Morning Fox show had somebody from Baltimore on saying that district is rat infested. And he just basically retweeted what she said. And then all of a sudden it became Trump's racist.
Oh, and since then there have been lots of people interviewed in Baltimore saying the same things, saying, no, he's right. This is terrible. It's a joke. It's a joke. And I don't really think that the American public is falling for it. This is just the red meat kind of stuff that the media throws out there and tries to gin up anger. I think most normal people in America can look at the pictures of Baltimore and say, that does not look like a nice place to live, and I don't think I want to go there. I'm not vacationing there anytime soon. Like, come on.
There's neighborhoods that are completely vacant buildings, and nobody's moving in because there's a problem there, and it's Cummings District.
And it needs to be addressed. And now, thank God that he said something, and it will be. Because now, and this is the way he works. It's just amazing to me. I mean, he's so good. He's so genius. You know, if he sees a problem, he wants something done about it, all he has to do is send out one tweet that makes everybody go crazy. And the next thing you know, there's going to be a task force to clean up the rats. Because they're going to be too embarrassed to be caught on camera now with rats running all over the district. You watch. But something good will happen for Baltimore now because of this. And it'll be because of President Trump, because he cared enough to say something about it.
Now to my favorite three, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Tulsi Gabbard. Okay. They went at each other between the three of them. Tulsi attacked Kamala.
I loved that cat fight. That was great.
That was great.
That was the best part of the
personally,
whole thing.
I like Tulsi because she has a lot of libertarian ideas when it comes to military interventionism. But then she has these socialist ideas with the Medicare one-payer system, which I'm not on board with. So I'm kind of split. I like some of her ideas and some of her ideas I don't. I like her.
She's certainly not the worst candidate we could have. I mean,
she's had skin in the game. She's been deployed overseas twice.
Right. So she seems like an honorable person. I don't agree with a lot of her ideas, but some of them I do.
She says the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
You know, she puts out videos that she loves America and the country.
The fact that she went on Tucker Carlson, because none of those people will go on with Tucker. Come on. The fact that she even went on with Tucker in the first place makes me think that she's a reasonable, rational person. I think she did well tonight, although I had a really hard time concentrating on what she was saying because she's so darn beautiful. I'd never really seen her before. And I get distracted by that. I get distracted by beauty. So if they're speaking and they're so good looking, it's really hard for me to understand what they're saying. And it's like, so I don't really know what she said, but I do like her delivery. And I did love when she went after Kamala Harris about you laughing at your marijuana use after putting people in jail for using it. That really is, that should tank Kamala Harris's chances. That story, and I covered that when it happened, and nobody seemed to care at the time. It's like, it's a big deal. Right. It's a really big deal that she put people in prison for marijuana use, and then she's got the nerve to go on a radio station and to try to be like, you know, hip and cool in crowd. Suddenly she's talking about being Jamaican and smoking a.
She probably never did smoke it, but she wanted to fit the narrative at the time. And get those votes and, you know, come up with it.
Her own father said he was embarrassed for her that she did that.
I can't stand phony politicians, and I feel like Tulsi has. Ever since Tulsi started running, she had a platform and she stuck to it. She's not changing her ways. You know, I could respect that. Even though I might not agree with everything, I respect
that. Did she say anything? Because you're going to have to fill me in because I was so distracted, but I couldn't tell what she was saying. Did she say anything like real negative about Trump? Did she go into the.
No, she never talks about Trump at all.
That's good because that's something that they need to stop doing because they are not debating Donald Trump right now. They're supposed to be telling the country what they're going to do. And all of them, except for maybe her and like the other guy, the guy on the end.
Yang hasn't even really attacked Trump. He's talked about how we need to stop, you know, debating and actually come up with policies that will better the country. You know, and saying that Trump's doing the wrong thing.
I don't think it helps them to be all, you know, Trump is orange man bad. And I don't think that helps.
They're going to have that opportunity, whoever the nominee is at some point.
Right.
Joe Biden, I thought, came out fiery. Like they must have given him a shot of adrenaline or something.
He was Red Bull Biden.
He was totally Botoxed.
He was completely Botoxed up the wazoo. His face, his mouth was barely moving. It was like this.
They're making him look younger.
He had no wrinkles. Did you tell? Could you tell? I mean, it was like totally baby smooth face. He looked weird, though, to me. It looked like he was wearing a mask of some kind. Joe was Joe. You know, Joe's always Joe. I think he really stepped in it, though, when he greeted Kamala Harris on the stage beforehand and he said, "Don't beat me up too bad, kid." And the whole party is mad at him because he called a grown woman kid. And it is patronizing. And although, you know, a person like myself would not get upset about that, but I know how they are. And I know that that they're going to take that as a sexist remark and patriarchal behavior. And so I think that they're going to go after him for that for sure. He just can't help himself, though. He's always sticking his foot in his mouth. Always. I was surprised he didn't try and kiss her.
Or do that, you know, rubbing of the head hair. Or smell her or something, right? So yeah. Of all, Julian Castro, he went after Trump a lot. He went after Trump.
Bring to me.
With the immigration.
He also pronounces Spanish words with an accent, which drives me crazy. You know, he's speaking totally normally, and then he'll say Puerto Rico. And it's so annoying. It's like, can you stop doing that? You're speaking English now, so just speak it.
When he was talking about health care, he was talking about immigration. He said he would repeal the immigration law, and he would change it from criminal to civil law action. For me, I'm thinking, okay, what does that even mean? You have people that just traveled from Central America to America with nothing because they have nothing. And then what civil action are you going to take against them if you're going to get rid of the criminal law? What are you going to find them? They don't have anything.
But they don't show up at court anyway. So what?
What civil action?
What does that even mean? They're not going to take any civil action against them. It's nonsense. But I'm telling you, Joe Biden might be the only exception. But there will be no Democrat elected as the nominee who is not for open borders unless it's Joe Biden. And I'm telling you, that's that.
Joe said tonight that he actually said that and got beat up on that a little bit.
I know. And he sounded like everybody's dad when he did it. And I was like, I can't believe WTF. I'm agreeing with Joe Biden right now. But he was like, you can't have open borders. What? It has to be a crime. It is a crime. How do you explain it to people who have been waiting in line for years? He basically just said, stop being stupid. Right. You're all being stupid. This is stupid. We shouldn't even be having this conversation. And he's right. Nobody should be having the conversation that a country doesn't have the right to have borders. It's nonsense. And I loved that part. I thought he handled that really well. He had a lot of hecklers in the crowd. Did you notice?
Yes. But so did Cory Booker when he started. Cory did his initial opening and he started heckling him. And Bill de Blasio, I think he got one.
But clap. I noticed that Biden had lots of hecklers every time he talked. So I think
that's
that
there's done a, on purpose by
there's a real motivated there's like a motivated group of people who do not want Joe Biden as the nominee. Yeah. And I think they know he's the inevitable nominee, and so they're trying to derail him.
There's two favorites. I'm gonna tell you right now. Kamala Harris is number one. They would love to have Kamala Harris, okay, because
the far left wackos.
Perfect for every narrative that you want to put out
there.
She's
just awful. I can't take her.
The other one that I'm going to call it now, he may creep up, is that Julian Castro. He is articulate. He's smart. He dresses well. He has a clean look, you know, and he's not afraid to get involved in a fight. I'm telling you now, he's a dangerous candidate. He could be a possibility. I like Tulsi. I just don't think that they're ever going to support her. They're already shunning her now. The Democratic Party is already looking away from her because
they don't give her a whole lot of spotlight. Probably because
she's not a socialist.
She's too normal. Right. She's too normal. I didn't really get that about Castro. So maybe you're seeing something I'm not seeing. I really didn't find him to be engaging at all.
The first debate, he did better. This one, he didn't do as well.
I really think that this is going to be a Biden run, and I really don't see anybody else beating him. He's got the money, he's got the support. I think he's got the Obamas probably.
He's got the support of the old Democrats, I would say. The new Democrats, though.
Right, and it's going to be a fun fight to watch. Who's going to win? You know, there's going to be a death match between the squad followers and the old and the Nancy Pelosi Democrats, who would definitely like to have a Joe Biden because they know how things work. And things do not work the way the squad thinks they do. And you know, there's still some pragmatism left in the party with the older crowd, the Schumers, the Pelosis. They know how it works. But I find it interesting. I really liked Andrew Yang tonight. I thought he did quite well, especially coming from a guy who says he can't speak and does a bad job speaking. I thought
Oh, really, I think he's pretty. He's
he
pretty
pulled
authentic.
it out tonight. I thought he did. I thought he put himself up there in the at the top of the crowd. Now I don't think that he's going to be the nominee by any means, but I thought he did really well.
I think he's earned himself in a place working somewhere within the government, whoever wins, with the economics and how to transition into this new age
of
AI.
Yeah, I liked his description of himself as an Asian man who likes math. Yeah. You know, I put that in a hashtag, Asian man who likes math. That's good. He should stick with it. He should do that. I mean, people do like him. He's a likable guy. He's got good ideas about, you know, where AI is going and where technology is going and what it's doing to jobs. And I kind of dig him. I do. He's funny. And he seems like a decent kind of fellow, too. I mean, he doesn't seem crazy. I mean, his ideas are a little bit out there, but still.
Can he be president is the question.
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Poor Yang.
Although, I mean, we really can't say that anymore after Donald Trump became president. I mean, yeah. Now it's an open field. I mean, there's just no stopping anybody.
You know what I do like is that we're chipping away at the career politicians having to be the president, or we can get some outside people in, which is something that I am a big advocate for. I don't think you need to be
embedded.
Lifetime lawyer.
No way.
That you have every answer. So
I don't think you should. I actually don't think that most politicians should be lawyers. I think we should ban lawyers from being politicians. It's crazy to me that
there might be too much regulation.
Our entire country is run by lawyers. I don't think that's a good idea. We were supposed to be run by the people, which means farmers and grocers and policemen and, you know, other people who are not lawyers.
That's why I'm a libertarian, because I like that idea.
Yeah, me too. I don't think it should be a full-time career either. I think if you get elected to office, I think you should go when it's in session and do your stuff and then go home and go back to your job. I don't think you should be raising money all day long every day. That's the thing that's wrong with this country is that somebody told me the other day, you should really run for office. I'm like, are you kidding me? I can't think of a worse way to live my life than beg people for money. And that's all they do. Once you get elected, your job is to raise money for the party and for your reelection campaign. And you do it every day. And that's what it's about. They have you on the phone cold calling like you're a sales rep stuck in an office somewhere cold calling for money. I can't even imagine this being my life. And it shouldn't be the lives of our representatives. They should have other jobs. They should get their expenses paid for when they go to Washington or to the state to do their thing. And then that's it and go home.
Right. And I've had politicians on here. I've had candidates that are currently running, have run in the past. And at some point, right at the very end, might say, how do we follow you and keep up with your campaign? They give their pitch because they need the money. They need the money to win. It's always about the money. You can't win without money. And that's one of the problems. So of everybody tonight, who do you think won the debate? Who won and looked most presidential tonight?
It's tough because it was really boring, and I don't think anybody stood out, really. I don't think anybody
You know what my friend said? My friend said Donald Trump won tonight.
Yeah, Donald Trump wins all the time, though. You know, he wins. That's what he does. I can't really pick a clear winner. I mean, I do think Tulsi was at the top, but also Joe Biden, to me, maybe I'm biased because I just think he's going to be the nominee, that he did well. And so all he needed to do was not lose, and he didn't lose.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he lost tonight. I think he did better than the first debate. And I think Kamala, you're right, she looked angry. She didn't look very presidential.
She kept doing this with her face, and every time I would catch a screen grab of her, and every time I would catch a screen grab of Tulsi, you know, she looked like Wonder Woman. I mean, she just looked beautiful. And the contrast between the two was really striking.
I think that's why Tulsi wore that white suit to kind of just.
God, that was a great pantsuit. I declare the winner, the pantsuit, the white pantsuit is the winner of the debate tonight.
So before I let you go, you still with PJ Media?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So how? Where can everybody follow, read up on anything that you've done lately? And your book, you still selling your book?
I I am. Yeah. Believe Evidence, The Death of Due Process from Salamita, hashtag Me Too. It's on Amazon. You can pick it up on Kindle or paperback version. And of course, you can follow me at pjmedia.com. I write there regularly. And you should also be following all of our terrific columnists at PJ Media, because there's so many good ones, like Roger Simon and Paula Boyard, and so many good people to follow. Tyler O'Neill is writing some great stuff lately, and there's a bunch of stuff already up on the debate tonight on PJ Media, so you should go read it, because we've been laughing all night. The drunk blog, sure. PJ Media drunk blog.
I was looking at the tweet, drunk blog. I was hitting the hashtag before.
Stephen Green, he writes on the drunk blog. It's so fantastic. You got to see it. It's funny. Vodka pundit. We love him.
So if you're listening to this podcast, make sure you subscribe to the show. And if you're on the YouTube channel, go down in the bottom, hit that subscribe button, and stick with me. I have an episode coming out Sunday at 10 p.m. with the vice presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party. John Phillips was with me. And tune in for that one. So thank you for joining me tonight on this debate special, talking about this wonderful, boring, horrific debate. We know that Tulsi Gabbard looked good tonight, and the white pantsuit won the debate tonight.
I'm definitely going with the white pantsuit.
All right. Thank you very much for joining me tonight, Megan. Appreciate it.
All right. You too. Take care.